warblers and wards. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 129. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your weekly Wikipedia wielding weevils.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris. Sorry. Let me do that again. Wow, I've never screwed that up before. And I'm Chris.
And today's show is brought to you by Harry's, the destination for quality and affordable men's shaving needs. Oh, actually, and girls. I know a couple of Good Job Brain listeners who are women also subscribe to Harry's shaving kits, and they're really excited about it. Providing everybody with a great shaving experience for a fraction of the price, so you never have to buy overpriced razors again. $15 actually get you a set. It's shipped to your door, and you can customize your own shaving subscription plan based on your hair growth needs, I guess.
Yes. Yes.
They've officially launched two new products. That's the Foaming Shave Gel and the Aftershave Moisturizer. And Colin, you actually just shaved.
My face is still warm from shaving. Yeah, I used the new Foaming Gel.
Is that good or bad if your face is warm from shaving?
Well, I used the warm water. It's not red and irritated. let me be clear. And I don't typically use aftershave, but it's like a lotion-y aftershave. It's very enjoyable.
Instead of like the alcohol-y pack.
Yeah, sort of like the old-timey splash on the alcohol-based. No, it was very soothing.
What is aftershave for?
It's like a little bit of
girls don't have that.
It's a little bit of like an astringent, you know, like and just kind of tighten the skin up a little bit. Maybe if you happen to cut yourself, it kind of, you know, will sterilize those. I think that's why a lot of the old ones used to have more alcohol in them.
So you won't get like gangrene.
Yeah, but this one is really more about moisturizing.
Because there's no like aftershave for women, like for our legs or anything.
Oh, is that true?
We have toner and stuff for our face.
But you use lotion, right?
But we don't shave our face most of the time.
No.
most of the time.
Only
on special occasions. Yeah.
So please visit harrys.com and use the promo code BRAIN to save $5 off your first purchase. Smooth as a baby's bottom.
Speaking of baby's bottoms.
Oh. I now have one. In fact, I have an entire baby, bottom and all.
Top to bottom.
You have to take the whole baby, apparently.
Yeah, okay. Not just the bottom.
Not just the butt. Yeah. We asked at the hospital.
But now you are
legal
a,
reasons. Yes, a I am now dad. A dad.
Congratulations.
Yay. I heard your legal reasons thing. Such a dad joke.
Dad joke, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's been, you know, quite an interesting life change. Yeah.
Big question.
Yeah.
What is your baby's name?
Oh, his name is also Chris.
Yay!
Chris 3.0, actually, because I'm my dad, but my dad's name is Chris, too. So, I've just been attacking the dad thing with this sort of, you know, I mean, it is Good Job Brain parenting, because it's like, I'm going to find out all the facts that I possibly can find out about stuff. I mean, the really interesting thing is the replicating the experience of being in the womb and what effect that has on calming a baby. Because when they're they're crying, a lot of the reason they're upset, if their diaper is clean, if they've been fed, if there's no overt reason for them to be upset, they're just kind of ticked off because they just had 9 months of enjoying this relative life of luxury. And now there's this big world and it's super scary. So swaddling babies, like this is a big thing you learn as a parent in terms of like wrapping a blanket tightly around
them. Not swatting.
Not swatting. Swaddling. and then keeping their arms like locked.
Oh, fixed.
Yeah, fixed in a fixed position. You know, again, like the womb. Mm-hmm. So they can't move them around so much. Turning them on their side. And then the shushing thing, and this is the big one, it's so counterintuitive, but it's you put your mouth up super close to the baby's ear, like almost touching. Just make Darth Vader noises into the baby's ear.
Like a human white noise machine.
And the thing is, yeah, like a human white noise machine, or you get a white noise machine. There's white noise apps for the iPhones that just make womb sounds. It's like a loud, it's the sound of a mom's heartbeat and swishing and stuff like that. And what it does is it just activates this reflex, and you will take a crying baby and turn them into, their eyes just go wide and they just become silent.
Blissed
because
out.
They do. It's like you just injected them with something. You're just like, Wow. And it's pretty crazy. But then, of course, you put them down and they start crying again. So you kind of have to try to get them to sleep, you know, while they're doing that. I'm not saying it's easy. If I'm sitting here before you today, I'm not saying it's easy, but there's all kinds of fascinating things that you learn. So I'll just continue to bring these to us.
Very cool. Yeah.
Well, let's do a very quick installment of our omissions and errors segment. When we were talking about
more like rawr.
Oh, I like actually. That. Yeah. Well, we can have Karen edit in some sound effects later. Yeah. Generic bear stock sound. The Wilhelm bear scream. Yeah. That would be awesome. When we were talking about bears on the outdoor episode a couple episodes ago, I had asked, you know, the best way to deal with being confronted with a black bear specifically.
On the show, we actually did have conflicting.
We did.
Because yeah. Dana had a rhyme. If it's brown, lay down.
Flush if it's it down. Black. Oh, wait. Flush it down.
If it's black, send it back. If it's black, fight back was in Dana's mnemonic. And so a couple of people on Twitter actually wrote it. They're like, no, that's not how you deal with black bears. Don't just lay still. And so I went back and dug into it a little more. And the source that I found originally is a noted bear expert. I'm not going to throw this person under the bus, but it does seem like this person's opinion is sort of in the minority among most of the bear resources say that, yeah, when dealing with black bears, if you're sort of at a safe distance, you know, like they're not literally right up in your face, you know, you kind of want to try and spook them. You know, it's okay to make noise. It's okay to make yourself appear larger. It's okay to, you know, act like, hey, get out of here. Get out of here, bear. So
get out of here, bear. But you go away, bear.
Shoot. Who's the naughty bear? But Chris, as you astutely pointed out, it's very hard to do control trials. And a lot depends on the particular bear and the mood that bear is in that day. But it does seem
and
like
how much you look like a salmon.
Right, right. Yeah. How much raw salmon you're carrying in your pockets. But this all does lead to one thing that I didn't mention on the bear show very quickly, that everyone agrees, whatever your strategy is for dealing with a fight, everyone agrees the best approach is prevent a bear encounter by announcing yourself. You know, so as you're hiking along,
surprising them.
Sing a song, whistle. When I used to go hiking, they would give a lot of us, if we wanted, bear bells. Oh. And you can buy these at a lot of wilderness stores. And they're like little jingle bells, basically. But you put them on your backpack or you put them on your walking
stick.
You're
like a bard of the forest. Yeah.
Gather around, bears.
Yes. Your penny whistle and your feather cap.
Let me sing you a song. Yep.
But the idea is just as you're going along, you're making like little jingling sounds just so that bears kind of hear you coming, because you don't want to startle the bear.
Right.
They don't want to deal with you. They do not want to fight you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thanks to all those who gave us actually on Twitter.
Yes.
So speaking of Twitter, I also have a new baby, but it's really just a project on Twitter.
Surprise!
Segue to segue.
Synergy.
You guys can't tell. I was pregnant.
Speaking of bear bottoms.
We're going to clean up at the Seggy Awards this year, guys. I think I've got a good feeling about this one.
For most segues in a single episode, best bear-themed segue was awarded at a separate presentation earlier in the day.
The technical award.
The technical Seggies,
I have a project on Twitter called Words Are So Weird.
Yay!
So it's at Words Are So Weird. I'm posting a weird word every day. I think so for October, I'm doing gross and creepy words. And so far, I think the best word is scatomancy.
Yes!
Which is fortune telling with poop.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty special word that I had not heard of before. So every day, I'm going for it. Every day. And sometimes there'll be pictures that I've drawn.
I love the pictures you've been doing.
Yeah, that's the scatomancy picture is very, very fun. And of course, we've been retweeting some of these on the Good Job Brain Twitter account too. So you might have seen some of these.
All right. I want to try doing things where people make sentences with these weird words. And if you have ideas for weird words, tweet me.
It's like old school vocabulary homework middle school. Yeah.
But for words you didn't really need.
Right. Use the word scatomancy in a sentence, kids.
I know. Yeah. Well, maybe you could practice your scatomancy when you're changing all the diapers. Mm-hmm. You can see
What was the one I liked was frog eating? What was it?
Batrachivorous. Frog eating.
Frog-only diet. Yeah. A frog-centric diet.
That's great.
All right. That was a lot of housekeeping. Well, let's finally jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz, Hot Shot. Here I have a random trivial pursuit card, and you guys have your Morning Zoo radio buzzers. Here we go. Blue Edge for geography. New Mexico's official state question. I didn't know there were official state questions.
Wow.
Red or Green asks about your preference of what food?
Oh.
Dana.
Chiles?
Yes, okay. Chiles. Right, yeah. I was going to guess salsa.
Mexico's official state question.
What a weird...
There was a recent study of the most popular food by state, and I think chiles for
New Mexico.
It was like, it's in everything. Okay. In everything, and people were writing about
it. What about California?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, what was it?
Is it like avocado?
Oh, I don't know.
No.
It might have been prawns or something.
Oh.
Like, the thing that people mention on Twitter the most when they're and where they're from.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. All right, Pink Wedge for pop culture. What public radio show was adapted for TV, complete with its host sitting at a desk in the middle of a scene? Dana again.
This American Life?
Yes.
This American Life. Oh, that's right. They did do that. That's right.
Yellow Wedge. According to Aristotle, where is the seat of intelligence?
Oh.
Colin.
The heart.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Very good. All right. Purple Wedge. Who read her poem on the pulse of morning at Bill Clinton's 1993 inauguration? Everybody.
Maya Angelou.
All right, Green Wedge for science. What does DSL stand for? DSL connection.
Digital signal line?
Close, but no cigar.
No.
Oh.
DSL.
I thought it was digital signal line, too. Yeah, DSL.
The S is wrong.
Oh, digital.
Digital signal.
Secure line.
Subscriber.
Oh, yes.
Right, it was digital subscriber.
DSL equals digital subscriber line. All right.
Wow.
Yes.
All right.
Wow card from 2006.
Yeah. Exactly.
1985.
What is that?
Things change fast.
All right. Last question, Orange Wedge. What is it called when a golfer or tennis player wins all the major championships in the same calendar year? Everybody.
Grand Slam.
Okay, I have a dumb question.
Okay. Mm.
I know Grand Slam is also used in baseball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is a Grand Slam in baseball?
It's when the bases are loaded and the guy hits a home run.
So okay. 4 points.
Yeah. 4 points. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
We call them runs as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The score went up by 4 points.
Yes. Yep.
All right. Good job, Braves.
Advantage Yankees.
Do you guys... Oh, here's this one comes up in trivia a lot. What is the Golden Slam?
Oh.
In what sport?
Tennis.
Oh.
The Golden Slam.
So is it like...
It's when you win the men's and the women's?
The Golden Slam is if you win
the
Grand Slam of the four tennis majors and a gold medal at the Olympics.
Oh!
Okay. Who was the most recent person to do that?
We can look this up very quickly.
So I here see Steffi Graf, singles player who won a Golden Slam. 1988 Australian Open, French Open, Wimbledon, U.S. Open, and then the 1988 Olympic gold medal. Oh, okay. All in within one calendar year.
Right.
So that's super rare because it's every 4 years.
Yeah.
Right. So you'd have to win the Grand Slam.
Wow, actually, looking at it, it is more rare than I thought. Yeah. There are several players who've done the career Golden Slam.
Okay.
Which is a little more like Serena Williams, Venus Williams, Andre Agassi.
But in a single year?
Others.
Okay, so there are a lot of people who have won Grand Slam
and the gold medal,
not within the same year.
Steffi Graf, the only one to do it in the same...
That's a good trivia question.
That's a good trivia.
1988, Steffi Graf.
All right. Well, good job, Brains, and good job, Steffi Graf.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
All right. So, of course, today's episode might not be a surprise that we're going to dedicate and celebrate Chris's new fatherhood with a dad-centric, dad-themed episode.
Dawn of the Dad.
Dawn of
That's good.
That's pretty good.
Oh, thanks.
So today, to fatherhood.
Papa loves Mambo.
Papa loves Mambo.
Mama loves Mambo.
Mama loves Mambo.
Don't play the rumba and don't play the samba, cause Papa loves Mambo tonight.
Papa loves Mambo.
Alright, let's get started with a dad-themed grab bag of trivia.
Grab bag.
Every answer either has dad or father or pop or whatever, or I explicitly ask for the name of the father. What was the name of Barack Obama's memoir? Chris.
Dreams from My Father.
Do you know the subtitle?
Oh, man. The lessons that my father taught me.
What is it? Lessons from a life or.
Oh, yeah, sure.
What was it?
A story of race and inheritance.
Okay.
Was this before or after he was a senator?
I think Dreams from My Father was before.
It was before. It helped launch his political career.
Right, exactly.
Came out in 1995. Yeah. It just covers from his birth to when he was enrolled in Harvard Law School.
Okay. So none of his actual career stuff.
Mm-mm. Who was Queen Elizabeth I's father?
Queen Elizabeth I's father.
Chris.
Is this Prince Albert?
No.
Dang it. King Edward?
No.
No, there are like so many Edwards.
Well, I mean, maybe, yeah.
She married Edward.
Was it Henry VIII?
Henry VIII. And
what?
Her mother was Anne Boleyn.
That's right.
Oh.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. Wow.
It was back. Yeah. It was back away.
Yeah, right?
Our European...
Oh my god, are UK fans are gonna be like, oh no, I do not know.
I don't know why that era, those two eras seem so separate to me.
I wouldn't think
they're connected.
Right, I see what you're saying.
Henry VIII and Queen Elizabeth I.
I almost think Henry VIII is almost like not fairy tale esque.
Right. I get what you're saying.
I don't know if this helps, but Queen Elizabeth I was alive during Shakespeare's time. Like Shakespeare performed for her.
That's true. It was in the movie. Yeah.
It was in the movie. Right?
So you know it happened. So you know it was real.
Judy Dench.
Yeah. I think it's law. In England, you can't have Judy Dench act something if it didn't happen. That's a
Oops.
All right. This fictional industrialist, philanthropist, and three-star general has been portrayed in comics, Broadway musicals, and movies.
Fictional philanthropist. Okay.
Chris.
Daddy Warbucks.
Yes.
From Little Orphan Annie.
Yeah.
Do you know his first name?
Oliver.
Yes.
Whoa! Yeah. Oliver Warbucks.
Oliver,
quote, daddy.
Daddy Warbucks. That's so weird. This character is 546 years old, according to Wikipedia, and known for dressing in red pants and a red hat.
Oh.
Colin.
Santa Claus?
Me?
Father Christmas?
No.
What?
Oh, that's what my guess was.
Père Noël?
It is. 546
years old and dresses in a red...
pants and a red hat.
Red pants
Uncle
and a red
Sam?
Hat. Does he wear a shirt?
No. Does he wear a shirtless?
Yeah, just a red pants and a red hat.
Right.
You guys give up?
A little.
Yeah.
Papa Smurf.
That's good.
You got me.
Yep, that's right. Good. That's very good.
And he does just wear red pants and a red hat.
Sure. Yeah,
we were laughing, but he really does. He goes shirtless.
I know. Sexy Santa?
Wait, he really is topless.
They're all topless.
They all are, except for Smurfette. Right.
Yeah. Do they have...
nipples?
Yeah.
No.
They call them Smurfles. They call them Smurfles, yeah.
And they don't have them. They just talk about them.
That's so weird.
They talk a lot about how they don't have them.
Yeah.
What was the name of James Brown's 1965 single? And it was his first to reach the top of the Billboard 100 Top 10. Everybody.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
Woo!
Who sang the song Papa Was a Rolling Stone?
Ooh.
Colin.
That was the Temptations.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Papa was tempted to leave the
house. Yes, that is actually how I remember
that.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Cool. Well, because, again, I think we mentioned this on the show. It's the whole The Temptations Four Tops.
Right.
I don't know if we're the only pub quiz team, but it's hard for us.
It does. Yeah, it is. All right. So the next couple of questions are about the wonderful year in television, 1987.
Whoa.
1987.
Okay. All right.
1987 sitcom starring Paul Reiser.
My Two Dads.
Yes.
Oh, that was a bit hard because I was like, he was in a bunch.
He was.
Yeah, but about dads.
Yep.
Yeah, Mad About You is 90s, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was on Dad.
1987 show up starring Tom Bosley.
Happy Days.
No.
Oh. The Father Dowling Mysteries,
yes,
right?
Yes, the Father Dowling Mysteries. He was a mystery-solving priest.
Yes.
I enjoyed that show.
It's like the proto-Da Vinci Code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so another 1987 sitcom. in which the father was a sports writer turned co-host of Wake Up San Francisco.
Oh. Full House.
And his name was?
Oh, Danny Tanner.
Yes.
Daniel.
Danny.
Well, I mean, that's
and his middle name was.
I don't get the point
actually
yet.
I have it in my notes. Yeah, you got the point. This is for extra points.
More bucks.
Ernest.
Oh, really?
Danny Ernest Tanner. Wow.
There you go. It's just in my notes. I felt like sharing it. Danica Patrick is the spokesperson for what father-centric company name?
GoDaddy.com.
Okay, sure.
That's right. The domain name registry company, yes.
And she's a race car driver. Not Winnie. That's Danica. Not
Danica McKellar.
Yes. Not Winnie Cooper.
Don't confuse the two. Yes. Yeah.
So, cellar spiders have another name.
Karen. Daddy Long Legs.
Now I'm going to throw this out there. Oh. Daddy Long Legs is not a spider, right?
No, that's
right.
It is a spider.
It is a spider.
There are three things named Daddy Long Legs.
Yeah. Oh.
The thing in your house that everybody has in their house at some point.
Yeah.
That is a spider.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. But there's also an insect called a Daddy Long Legs. That's not a spider. Oh. And there's an arachnid that's also called Daddy Long Legs sometimes. That is not a spider, but an arachnid.
Huh.
Yes, well, there are three things.
That's not confusing at all.
It is not. No. It's super confusing.
Yeah.
But I looked at the pictures and I was like, nope. That thing that was in my house
is a spider.
I'm gonna close it out with two lyrics.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Samples.
Okay.
Which song are these lyrics from? Take me back to the day when I was still your golden boy, back before you went away.
Oh.
I'll give you a hint. This is from a late 90s band. Take me back to the day when I was still your golden boy, back before you went away.
Oh, no.
I remember blue skies. Just walking the block. Okay.
Wallflowers?
No.
Was this Everclear?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
What's the song?
Father of mine.
Yes.
Where did na-na-na-na?
Okay, last one. I went hiking with Joe Spivey. He developed poison ivy. You remember Lynyrd Skynyrd? He got ptomaine poisoning last night after dinner.
Whoa.
Well, the song is Hello Mudda, Hello Fada. But yes. I do not know. We're looking for the artist?
Sure.
I believe that's Alan Sherman.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
Whoa.
Teamwork.
Good job.
Okay, the name of my segment is called Hi Hungry, I'm Dad.
Okay.
Oh, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
One of the best thing, well, probably the best thing about being a dad for me going into it, bringing a new life into the world, being able to tell jokes all the time, totally. I am all ready for dad jokes.
Before you were even a dad.
Well, then, I mean, you know, I think guys like telling jokes, and then you have a child, and you realize you have this golden opportunity because they've never heard any jokes before. So the oldest saw is brand new and funny or annoying, and it really doesn't matter.
Automatic audience.
If they think it's funny, if they think, you know, you're a total buffoon and they roll their eyes at you, it's all amusing. So, here is the quiz for you guys.
I'm
gonna set them up. You're gonna knock them down.
All right, these are the jokes.
It's like maybe you've heard them before.
These are all dad jokes.
So, I mean, just, you know, for example, if I were to say, "Hey, what do you call a fish with no eyes?"
Oh,
what do you call a fish with no eyes?
Oh man, it's gonna be something. It's gonna be like Laffy Taffy level.
A fish.
Oh, God. Yeah, they're all jokes like that where you're just like,
All right, well, here we go. Let's see which ones you can get. And if you don't get them, then we'll store them in your mind. You might need them someday. All right, okay, here we go. What did the pirate say? By the way, I got these all from various lists of dad jokes on the internet.
Specifically titled
a variety of sources.
Dad jokes.
Search for dad jokes, you'll find these. All right. What did the pirate say on his 80th birthday?
On his 80th.
R or something.
Close. Think about it. His 80th birthday.
Yeah.
Things pirates say. On his 80th birthday, the pirate said, I'm matey.
I'm matey.
I was staring at Dino. Yeah. Like, I don't get it.
I'm matey.
All right. Well, hey, what did the ocean say to the shore?
Is this nice to meet you?
No. What did the ocean say to the shore?
He didn't. He waved.
Yes.
Intuiting the dad joke.
Yep.
Yes.
Awesome.
Hey, did you get a haircut?
No, I got the mole cut.
Okay, we know this one.
Yeah. All
right. if your child asks you what time is it, You say
time to get a watch.
Oh, or that, or oh, I don't know. It keeps changing.
Oh, that's a Calvin and Hobbes Calvin yes. dad. Joke.
I would also sometimes get looking down at the blank wrist. Oh, it's two freckles past a hair.
Of course, yeah. Like, of course, they're not gonna.
Thanks.
They're
dad.
Not gonna get that at all. So, like, why are you looking at your yeah, wrist yeah. to tell yeah. the time? Why don't you look at your cell phone?
Yeah, that's true.
Some of these. All right. Hey, have you heard about that new movie, Constipation?
Oh, no, it hasn't come out.
Yes, that's yeah. it. Yep. It hasn't come out yet. Yeah. In the same vein, oh, did you hear about the kidnapping?
Oh, you should wake him up.
Yeah. It's okay. He woke up. How do you know you're about to drown in milk? How do you know you're about to drown in milk?
To drown in milk.
Think about words related to milk and maybe processes that they use on milk.
Moo.
Pasture.
You're pasteurized.
Yeah.
When it's pasteurized. Wow.
These are kind of like clever. Yeah. A little bit harder.
Yeah, right? Okay. Yeah. So two goldfish in a tank. One turns to the other and says, two goldfish are in a tank. One turns to the other and says,
let's have sex.
For older kids, I guess. They would, I bet they'd laugh at it, but it doesn't really follow from more of a non sequitur.
You don't want your dad to tell you that joke. You're like, what? You,
two goldfish are in a tank.
Are you new in this bowl?
All right, I'll give it to you.
What is it?
Two goldfish are in a tank. One turns to the other and says, do you know how to drive this thing?
Tank.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Okay, all right.
Wow.
Where do kings keep their armies?
In their sleeveys.
Yes!
Yeah, yeah.
Sleeveys.
That's cute. That's pretty cute.
What time is it when you have to go to the dentist?
Oh,
2:30.
2:30.
Sorry, Karen.
Okay. I only know this one because Chris told me that one, and I've never heard of it. I was like, oh, that's so clever.
That's amazing.
2:30.
Yeah. A couple more. How does NASA organize a party? How does NASA organize a party?
By the lunar cycle?
Space, rocket.
Stars aligned.
Shuttle. Committee.
Oh, by committee? That's really good.
That's too smart.
That's too clever. That's funny.
That's funny. How does NASA organize it?
They can't because they're underfunded.
If you want to have a party, you can hire a party.
They plan it.
And finally, oh, did you hear about the guy who fell off a 50-foot ladder and survived?
It was on the first rung.
Yeah. More of a lateral thinking problem, but yeah. Also, when you drive by cemeteries, make sure to say, oh, well, I mean, you can do a lot of...
There's a lot of good cemetery ones.
The cemetery is actually just a target-rich environment.
Really?
The one I know is, you know, people are dying to get in there.
Right. People are dying to get in there. Or they put that fence up so that people can't get out. And the most clever one that I read was, drive by a cemetery and then turn to your kid and say, hey, you know, those people living on the other side of the street, they can't get buried in that cemetery. And they say,
why?
Because they're still alive.
That's clever.
Right?
That's clever.
Yeah. That is for sure a dad joke.
That's right. It absolutely is.
I think my favorite dad joke is, what do you call a blind deer?
No idea.
What do you call a dead blind deer?
Still
no idea. I think you once shared one on the show, and you're like, I think we were talking about M&M's, and you're like, oh, of course the dad would be like, oh, someone sneaked in some M&M's with W's.
Yeah,
It's like, can you imagine sitting in the back of a minivan and then looking at another kid and rolling your eyes? And it's like,
embarrassingly.
Like, oh, dad, don't
dad,
do that to my friends.
We've talked about this.
All right, let's take a quick ad break, a word from our sponsor, and also a bumper from our listener.
Oh.
You so sharp blade, I really want to use ya. I got hair sticking out like spikes on King Koopa. I know you're a shaving kit, but please listen to me nah. Top grade, to my face, for not much moolah. No way, say nay, to your body being hairy. Say hey, today. To a shaving kit from Harry's. Say B to the R to the A-I-N. It's the code. For the pro. To get a good bargain. $5 off. Harry's.com. YOLO.
I'm at a grade school in Chicago. We're going to find out if these teachers listen to Good Job Brain.
Rosie Ruiz? I don't know, an actress. No, it's Rosie the Riveter.
She was the third Russian ambassador.
Should I know who it is? Like, did you know who it was before you looked it up?
Which one came first?
Brad Pitt.
What are lasers? Like, lasers, like...
Brad Pitt. Have you ever listened to Good Job Brain?
No.
You should go listen to it. You would have aced this quiz. Yeah. I'm at a grade school in Chicago. We're going to find out if these teachers listen to Good Job Brain. Emperor Qin Shi Huang ruled China until his death in 210 BC. How did he die?
Oh, it was definitely C. He was crushed.
Mercury poisoning. D.
Ding, 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 ding.
No way.
Way.
Awesome.
Betty White or penicillin?
Which came first? No, penicillin.
That's crazy.
So you would learn all of these things if you listened to Good Job Brain.
I should. I will.
That was awesome.
That's really amazing. Good.
He asked, Brad Pitt or lasers, Betty White or penicillin, which ones came first for those pairs? And then how did Emperor Qin Shi Huang die? And also our favorite, Rosie Ruiz.
That's so great.
Wow. Oh, man.
I don't know if he's actually a teacher in Chicago.
Yeah, or if he,
snuck into a playground or something. this is from Rob. And Rob said that ending little theme song is supposed to represent all four of us.
Ah,
like we're a note.
I like it.
Yeah, nice. Very cute. Special shout out to a listener, Mitchell. And I have to apologize to you three first. Mitchell sent us an awesome package. But the day it arrived, I was on my way out to the airport for vacation. So it was a food item, and it was going to get spoiled, so I didn't have time to bring it home and put it in the refrigerator and then bring it out to you
but
guys.
But you tried it, right?
So you
I
ate
did
it.
Try it. I did eat some of it.
Okay. So long story short, I ate your it. Food.
Yeah. And then I went on vacation.
And then I went to Disneyland.
Cool.
Good news, I guess, is that Mitchell, who lives in Bakersfield, it is famous for this thing that he sent us, which is cotton candy grapes.
What?
They're normal green looking grapes, very crunchy, very plump.
Okay.
And they taste like cotton candy. Like not in
its- How do they do that?
It's not soaked or artificially flavored. It's just from breeding.
Whoa.
Huh. I think I was reading the site. It took them probably almost a decade or longer than a decade to finally get to this hybrid crop.
Interesting.
It's just very strategic hybrid cropping.
Okay.
Different grape varieties. The grape does have a faint taste of cotton candy.
Cool.
It's not like you're eating a ball of cotton candy.
Okay.
It's a very faint taste.
Was it good?
It's very good.
Was it delicious, Karen?
It was very good.
That sounds good.
Sounds really good.
It's very...
Wish I had some.
wish we could have been there.
Well, thanks, Mitchell. Thank you for thinking of us.
That is pretty cool. And of course, you're listening to Good Job Brain. This week, we're talking about dads. And I want to talk about fathers in the animal kingdom. We've talked a lot about cool animal dads.
Yeah.
When I say cool, I mean weird.
Right.
before, we talked about seahorses.
Yeah.
How seahorses have a male pregnancy, and they're the ones who have the babies in the belly, and then, you know, thousands of them kind of shoot out of a hole. It's kind of, it's very stressful
very dramatic.
To watch. Yeah, no.
I wish you could see the hand motions Karen's making now.
Shoot out.
Like from the belly button. It's like,
explodes out.
And we talked about the male fruit bat that lactates to ease the stress of the mama fruit bat.
I tried doing that.
It's only been a week, Chris. Give it some time.
Yeah.
Just
patient.
As long as it latches on.
Your milk will come in.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm using two breast pumps, just to be sure.
And in nature, there are a lot of instances where the father animal actually does a lot to help out the mommy. Mm. And so one of the examples is the giant water bug, and a lot of other species, what they would do is they would carry the eggs on their backs.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
As dads. And so that way it's to protect eggs. And in a similar vein, there's the arowana, which is a type of fish you can catch in Animal Crossing. And other fish, similarly, they're called mouth breeders, not mouth breeders,
mouth breeders.
Yes. So what happens is they hide they protect the eggs in their mouths.
Wow.
The dads, aww, the dads have all the fish eggs in their mouths and they don't eat.
Wow.
Until they hatch.
Wow.
So in a way, they're protecting it. At the same time, it's like, it's kind of miraculous that they don't eat for weeks.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Greek myth.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. You're right. It totally does.
There's another interesting fish called the lump fish or the lump sucker. They look like they're like golf balls. They're spherical fish. When you think of fish, you think of like slender.
You know,
not aerodynamic.
Fish shaped.
Yeah, fish. These are like ball shaped and they're very cute. Why they're called lump suckers is because they do have a suction cup at the bottom, like at their belly part.
Okay.
So what the dad lump sucker does is, by a cluster of eggs, the dad will anchor and use the suction cup to suck itself near the eggs on the ground and basically just stay there to protect the eggs.
Mm, like a sentry.
Yeah, like a centurion and be like, okay, you know, this is my hood. You should Google this animal because it's hilarious. I think it's super cute.
Lump sucker.
Yeah, they look like a, what do you call the Mario fish?
Cheep-cheeps?
Cheep-cheeps, yes. Huh. In a lot of aquariums, actually, you might see lump suckers. And what they do to illustrate their sucking ability is they'll put balloons in the tank.
Oh.
And the lump sucker will suck to the balloon. It's really cute. Super, super cute. Also, great, great animal dads. And of course, there are a lot of birds, like penguins.
Oh, yeah. And they like they bury the eggs like between their feet, right? Or they waddle over them.
Like they will help out in incubating the eggs and protecting a lot of this protection stuff. But I'm going to introduce to you guys one example of a bad father in the animal kingdom. Also a nightmare animal in itself, without the dad part. So this animal is called the assassin bug.
Well, see, okay, he's already off to a bad start.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's already...
People live up or down to your expectations.
Yeah, of your name. In context to humans, they're kind of a friend and a foe. They're a friend in a way that they do take care of a lot of parasites. You know, they eat, they prey on, and they're called assassins because they prey on other bugs and such. And so they eat termites, they eat aphids, they eat a bunch of like pests. But at the same time, they can be vectors for some of the diseases, you know, that will affect humans. So it's friend or foe. Scientifically, great for the ecology in general. Anyways. So assassin bugs have a toxin, and what happens is, you probably know this from a lot of other insects or spiders, where the toxin will liquefy the prey's body, and then the assassin bug will suck all the insides up after it liquefies. So cockroaches will die 3 to 4 seconds after a bite of the assassin's bug. Fat caterpillars can survive up to 10 seconds. But once you get bit,
wow,
you're pretty much dead.
A little caterpillar doctor comes over to him. It's like,
Yeah.
So the assassin bug also, some of the assassin bugs will do is it will take the shell, because after it eats all the liquefied parts, it will collect the shells of its victims and make an armor, and it will build all these bodies on their backs, and they look like a pile of dead ants or dead termites, and wear them as armor to confuse predators. Yeah. And sometimes they will use these dead bodies as decoys to like trick other preys. So the male assassin bug, I'm going to, and this is a very scientific article by Lisa K. Thomas and Andrea Manica, which I think is their thesis or their PhD paper, called Filial Cannibalism in an Assassin Bug.
Oh.
And what happens is when the mom assassin bug lays a cluster of eggs, the father will come and protect it. And what happens is he will start eating the eggs located on the outer edges of the cluster. And it is messed up because it's eating its own children.
Right.
And there are a lot of other animal dads that do this. Scientists think that instinctively, this is done to protect the brood. So they do this so that it guarantees protection of the middle eggs. A lot of the outer eggs of the cluster will fall victim to wasps. To parasitic wasps.
Hmm.
And instead of having that happen, the dad just starts eating the eggs, and it's so hardwired into the bugs because scientists have done this research in a lab and they still do this, even though the threat of wasps,
even when there's no predators at all.
You know, another reason is, well, if the dad is trying to protect these eggs and cannot leave, It needs something to eat.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry, Junior.
So, in a way, maybe they laid that many eggs is also.
Extras on purpose.
To know that some of them will be ingested.
20% for overhead.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
it's overage. Yeah, right. Yeah.
There you go.
Life is rough in the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
Man, it's.
Filial cannibalism.
Filial cannibalism.
Interesting.
Happy Dad Day!
Well, you only had one baby, so you can't eat it.
Yeah. I have. Yeah. And I can't what?
You can't eat that one.
I can't eat that one.
Yes. Yeah, so don't go getting any ideas, Chris. Yeah.
And of course, it's not. I mean, assassin bug itself is already weird. There are a lot of animals that do this. A lot of fish will do this. They'll pick out the weak, the smaller eggs to eat. Larger eggs, especially in the fish family, larger eggs will mean they're going to be stronger fish, but also means they take a long time to hatch. So the dad will eat the smaller eggs as sustenance to protect the big eggs. Kind of effed up, but. Cool. But there you go.
Yeah.
And we have one more segment that actually does celebrate dads. Colin.
Yeah.
And it's a music quiz.
It is a music quiz.
We haven't done one in a while.
It's been a while. I was thinking that. I was putting together, what can I do? I was like, no, you know, just straight music quiz. And, you know, we do get frequently themes for our music rounds in pub quiz. So the theme, quite overtly, is dads.
Oh, okay.
Fathers. We're not guessing.
Okay. Fatherhood. Yeah.
So free point for everybody for guessing the theme.
Yes. Okay, I'm giving you the dad theme. And that should help you bootstrap into, hopefully...
Yeah.
Maybe you don't recognize the song. You guys all have pretty good thinking caps. You, with the theme, armed with the theme, you can figure these out.
All right.
So the connection may be in the name of the artist, maybe in the lyrics, maybe in the title of the song.
In the lyrics.
Perhaps.
Whoa.
Or
right.
The theme, yes. So, okay. All right, here we go. Number one. Karen.
Yeah.
Well, we all know. Chris, do you know?
No.
We just talked about
Everclear. It's Everclear.
This is, this is the Everclear song.
Yeah, okay. Father of Mine.
Father of Mine.
Father of Mine by Everclear, yes. We're just trying to prove to you listeners that we don't collaborate ahead of time here.
No, I know.
I was making eye contact with Colin as I started, and he did not recognize it.
He's trying to play it cool. Here we go. Next track. Please tell me the artist.
Just poor people, that's all we were, trying to make a living out of black lantern. But we'd get together in a family circle, singing loud. Daddy sang bass.
Mama sang tenor.
Bill and a brother would join right in there.
Singing seems to help us.
I don't.
Dana and Chris?
Johnny Cash?
Yes, it is Johnny Cash.
Okay.
Daddy sang bass.
All right.
Daddy sang bass.
I've never heard that song before.
That's a great one.
That sounds good.
Written by Carl Perkins.
Hey.
I have no idea what that is, but it's great.
He wrote Blue Suede Shoes.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. Next one. Please give me the artist of this track.
Hey, Jen, I know what you're thinking. That now's as good as any juice I'm drinking.
It's Johnny.
Yeah.
What's it gonna be?
Chris, although I think you all know this.
Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
No!
Is it Big Bad Voodoo Daddy?
It is Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. Oh, you guys all seem so confident. But yeah, I could see why you would think that. That's right.
Yeah. I had both of them in my head, and I just couldn't. Yeah.
That swing.
That period of like 2 years.
Cherry Poppin' Daddy. Zoot Suit Riot.
That was Cherry Poppin'
Daddy.
Yes, yes.
But they had a whole album full of stuff, but yeah.
They did. That was You and Me and The Bottle Makes Three.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes, as famously featured in the movie Swingers.
Yes. Yep.
Gonna bring it down a little bit for this next one here.
He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't.
Oh, who's singing though?
Chris.
Harry Chapin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Harry Chapin.
Cats in the cradle.
Little silver spoon.
Just a bittersweet. I mean, just a sad song.
I don't even know what it means.
What?
The whole song is just about, like, the dad's too busy to spend any time with the son growing up. And then finally, the dad grows up, and the son has no time to spend with the dad. I think every summer camp I went to as a kid, you would hear that song. One of the counselors would know it on guitar, and you would hear it.
That's nice. Well, yeah. So you're separated from your parents, and they played Cat's Cradle.
Oh. And welcome to nature.
Your parents are not here.
I'm manipulative, but it doesn't work because you don't know what they're talking about.
All right, we're going to do a radical stylistic change here for this next track. And listen to the intro. This isn't the spoken intro to the track. And keep in mind the category. Please tell me who is this artist.
All right.
I'm just going to sit here laid back to this nice mellow beat, you know, and drop some smooth lyrics. Cause it's 88. Time to set it straight, you know what I'm saying? And there ain't no half-stepping. Word, I'm ready. Rappers stepping to me, they wanna get some. But I'm the cane, so yo, you know the outcome. I'm not the victory, they can't get with me. So pick a BC date, cause you are history.
Dana.
That's Big Daddy Kane.
That is Big Daddy Kane.
Yeah, I thought it was him, and then he said, I'm Kane, and I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He also made very clear, it's 88.
I feel like a detective.
You're Nancy Drew.
That was so mean. Sorry.
No.
It was just the tone. It was funny. You're Nancy Drew.
You're like, way to go, Nancy Drew. That was Ain't No Half-Steppin', probably his biggest hit, I think.
Oh, that was... No, Pippin Ain't Easy is his big...
Big Daddy Kane. Man of many hits. Let's agree. Let's agree. Man of many
man
hits.
No one-hit wonder he.
Here we go. Next track. This will be a two-part question. Please tell me, who is the artist?
Papa, please forgive me. Try to understand me. Papa, don't you know I had no choice? Can you hear me praying? Anything I'm saying, even though the night is filled with voices.
Everyone.
Barbra Streisand.
And for the bonus point, what movie is this from?
Wait, is this Funny Girl?
Yentl.
Karen's got it.
Oh. Yeah.
Karen's got it.
Because she's like Mulaning it. Right?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
She has to pretend to be a boy to study.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yep. Wow. That's right. Yes. From Yentl.
Nice.
All right. Last one. Close it out here. Who is the artist performing this track?
Homemade farts.
Yeah.
Good thing they picked this song and not their famous song.
Yeah.
That famous song we can't air.
I wanted to make it both family friendly and a little bit more challenging.
Mumford and Sons.
Yes, Mumford and Sons. Yes. There is not actually a father of the rest of the band, but yes, it implies.
Sons.
Yeah, father and sons.
Yeah,
you guys get
sure,
it. That's right. That
Got
is
it.
A Hopeless Wanderer by Mumford and Sons.
No.
All right, good job, guys.
Yay!
All right. And that is our episode celebrating dads and fatherhood and celebrating you, Chris.
Oh, thanks.
Congratulations again.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for joining me. Thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned a lot of stuff about different dad trivia facts, dad jokes, dads in the animal kingdom, and also dad songs. Of course, you can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and also on our website, goodjobbrain.com. Thanks to our sponsor, Harry's, at harrys.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.